You are born for the valley. You were born to sail through the sky. Don't let your trials get you down. Drive your spirit to the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagles, and fly. So spread your wings, little eagles, and fly. Oh, you weren't born. Oh, sing it now. Oh, drive your spirit to the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagles, and fly. Amen. Brother Brad, get Brother Wayne's headphones, if you could cut those on for him. His headphones, Brother Brad Yance. Is that Brother Brad sitting back there? Wave your hand if that's you, Brad. I forgot my glasses again this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Well, you ain't nothing but a bunch of bipolars. Every one of you. Did you enjoy the word of the Lord here last night? Oh, wasn't the word of the Lord good? Amen. I always looked at bipolar as a very bad thing. But you know, it ain't nothing but the truth. What we heard last night ain't nothing but the truth. One thing saying do this. The other thing said, well, you really don't need to do that. You're all right. No, we're being called to a higher plane. Is that right? Somebody say praise the Lord. Stand up. Amen. Now, you've come to have church this morning. And if I've got to pull praise God's out of you and get you to say amen and get you to rejoice and get you to worship, you're in sad shape. You ought to do it with all your heart without anybody asking you to do anything. I heard Brother Jack Cove say on a tape the other day, if I have to ask you to say praise God, you're in sad, sad shape. So I'm going to use his quote this morning. If we've got to coach somebody and cheerlead somebody to praise God, we're everyone ruined. We're everyone in bad shape. Jesus has done too much for you and me, and I'm not fussing. God bless your little heart. I'm not fussing at you, but I'm challenging you. Let's get in this service this morning. Don't start off 10 and 20 and 30. Let's start 100 miles an hour. We're going to have church in this place today. You'll never be together again like you are right now. Never be in this assembly the way we are right now again. We're going to take advantage of it, right? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Give him a good hand clap of praise this morning. Are you going to help me sing? Get your microphone around there and help me sing this morning. We'll start when you get ready. Amen. Now let's sing this song. Spread your wings, little eagles, and fly. You weren't born for the valley, even though we go through valleys. We've got somebody that'll get us out of them valleys, don't we? Are you glad you're a Christian this morning? Are you glad you love the Lord? Are you glad He loves you more? Give him another hand clap of praise if you love him with all your heart. So spread your wings, little eagles, and fly. Oh, you were born for the valley. You were born to soar. Drive your spirit to the ground. let's just remain standing. We got just a very few prayer requests this morning. First of all, I want to say Brother Daniel Nunley back in the service this morning. Praise the Lord, out of the hospital. So glad for that. Brother Jeff Nunley, he got to go home. I do think that I'm right in saying that. Brother Jeff got to go home. I want to praise the Lord for that. And Brother Gary O'Hara is on his way home this morning from the hospital. So praise the Lord for those testimonies. Amen. I want to pray for Brother Sammy Hubbard. He'll be having knee surgery this week. Please pray that the surgery and the recovery will be a success. Thank you so much. So we just commit that to the Lord. Ask God to be with Sammy during this knee replacement surgery. Sister Rachel Lee Stepp says, please pray for Rebecca Records. That's my daughter. She got food poisoning and is very sick. So we want to remember her today. We have, I'll get that in just a minute. That's an announcement. We want to pray for Sister Lisa Cutts. She's sick, not able to be in the service today. Brother Amos wants to thank everyone for the nice cards and your prayers during the passing of his mother. So we thank the Lord for Brother and Sister Cutts are good people. And a testimony, Brother Gary getting to go home today. Sister Sue Miller says, my niece is having back surgery on Tuesday. Please pray that all will go well and that she will heal quickly. Also, Sister Sue's going to be her caretaker for a while. So let's pray that all will go well there. Alex Goulds is back in the hospital to get stents taken out of her kidneys. They found 3 more stones, so we certainly want to pray for her today. The Lord will be mindful of her. Alan Bean says to please pray for Sister Lou Bean, not feeling well this morning. And I think Sister Shirley Lesford is here in the service today. I believe she, even though she's over in the fellowship hall, she's got a very, very severe sciatic nerve condition that just she can't really sit at all. Brother Harvey was telling us about that. So we want to pray for that. All those that are in our congregation that are sick, not feeling well, we want to pray for them this morning that the Lord would be mindful of them. Brother Amos, is he in the service today? Brother Amos, I don't guess he's here. Brother Terry, come this morning. Lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. We just commit these things unto the Lord. We love the Lord, don't we? You have an unspoken prayer request you want this assembly to pray about today. May the Lord bless you, Brother Terry. God bless you, buddy.
Amen. We are so glad that we get to go to church. Let's bow our heads, we pray. Lord Jesus, how thankful we have this another privilege and opportunity, and surely it is a privilege and an opportunity to be in your presence. Lord, we are under the umbrella of Word Message. We know that because you have invited us to come into your presence, Lord, and through the truth has been revealed and restored in this day, Lord, there's one provided place of worship, and that's under the shed blood for the hour and for the open word, the message of the hour, the present day truth for the hour. God, we're so thankful. I just want to say thank you for what you mean to us before we ask any petition. Lord Jesus, I'm so thankful. I was thinking just yesterday and before the service last night how that you can take a human being living in the same vessel that we were back when we were sinners, but you can take the control tower and you can change the desire of a man's heart to where he could bring his flesh under subjection. What a miracle it is that you've done such a wonderful thing for your children. Oh, God, we thank you for that. We thank you for the ministry, Lord. We thank you for the things that you have done in this end time to get us ready for these last day events. And Lord, I know you'll give supreme grace and supreme hour. All that we have need of is even in that seed that you placed with us before the foundation of the world. We're thankful, Lord. We ask, Lord, for both of these Sister Lisa's that were had requests. I pray that you would just touch each one of them, make them well. Sister Lunsford, Lord, you see what she has need of with that sciatic nerve. God, touch her and restore and make her all together well. You receive stripes on your back that she doesn't have to remain in that pain. Lord, you paid the way and made the way that she can be healed. And each one of these requests that I hold in my hand, there's a way already been made. Provision has been made. Can we appropriate that faith? And we believe, Lord, there's faith in the build. It's been restored in this last day. Lord, we're thankful for what we heard last night. May it continue, Lord, in the freedom that we enjoy still to come to church and worship according to the dictates of our heart. Lord, we know it won't always be that way, but until that time comes, may we enjoy and take advantage of every opportunity, Lord, and give you 100% in worship today. You gave us 100%, Lord, 500%, 1,000%, if you will. But Lord, help us to give us give back to you all that we can. We love you so much. Thank you for this privilege to be here today. Lord, thank you for the testimonies, Brother Jeff, Brother Nunley, the other ones, Brother Hara out of the hospital. Each one is back home, on the way home. We're thankful because you're still the healer. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor with us today in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming the service, we pray that the service will be a blessing to those folks as well. Now, this is from the library. We have a ring, two watches, and a bracelet with two blue hearts on the bracelet. That is in the library. If you've lost any of these, well, you can pick them up over in the library this morning. Also, the items that they have on a table over in the fellowship hall, if you didn't get those last night, if you want to go by and pick those up, if they belong to you, go by and pick them up. If you see something you like and it don't belong to you, take it anyway. Apparently nobody don't want it, so if you want it, just go ahead and take it and tell them to see Brother Terry about that. Are you ready to sing a song this morning? Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give him one more hand clap of praise this morning. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I've been moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. Well, I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. My father owns a cattle on a thousand hills. I believe I own at least one. I stand amazed when I see his face, knowing I'm his son. I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to the mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir.
The guardian angel watching me.
Oh, yes, we do.
He's with me everywhere. When I need my Father in heaven above.
Thank you, Lord.
Just a simple prayer.
Well, we're rich in faith, hope, and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir.
Has cleansed me, forgiven me of all my sins.
He took me in.
He's building me a mansion beyond compare. Hallelujah, I'm a millionaire.
Well, I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a right.
Cleanse me, forgiven me of all my sins. He took me in. He's building me a mansion beyond compare. Hallelujah, I'm a
millionaire. I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, for I'm a right. Amen. Let's sing that little song, Give Me Jesus. Give Me Jesus. Let's sing that. Sister Tamika, if you'd get ready this morning to come and give us a special, let's sing that song this morning. In the morning when I rise, Lord, let us start our day with the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise in our lips and thankfulness in our heart that He's let us get up. And one more time, and see the light of another day. How great is our God, church? How great is our God? He loves you more than you could ever imagine. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. I want you to sing it now. Oh, give me. Sing it to him.
Give me Jesus.
Oh, you can have all this world. Give me Jesus.
When
to sing that chorus one more time. Give me. Sing it. Bless, you're singing so good this morning. You can be seated. Give Sister Tamika a nice hand as she gets ready to sing for us. Certainly appreciate our sister, don't we? Amen.
I was just a child when I felt the Savior's leading. I was drawn to what I could not understand. Before the calls of Christ, I have spent my days believing that what He have me be is who I am. as I come to see the weaker side of me. I realize His grace is what I need. When sin demanded justice for my soul, mercy said no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Jesus, mercy said no. For God so loved the world that He sent His Son to save us. From the cross He built a bridge to set us free. Oh, but deep within our hearts there is still a war that rages, that makes the sacrifice so hard to see. As midnight fell on crucifixion day, the light of hope seemed oh so far away. As evil tried to stop redemption's flow, mercy said no. I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no.
Brother Harry to sing this song this morning, and he tried to put up a little squabble about it, but we do have the words. I listened to David Phelps sing this song, I believe it was yesterday, and of course he sings with the Gaither Vocal Band. He's professional as he can be, but I like the life of this brother singing this song. Amen. And besides that, I like the way he sings it better than I do the way that David sings it. Amen. Give Brother Harry a nice hand this morning. Praise the Lord.
Forgive me. Uh, First of all, I'd like to say, I'd like to apologize that it's been brought to my attention that I've been playing too loud and I've offended some folks, and I'm very sorry. I wouldn't offend anybody in this church for anything. I might need some of y'all to speak for me someday. I know this is the cream of the crop right here. I believe it with all my heart. And Brother Louis wants me to sing He's Alive, but there's another song that's just a song that the Lord gave me. If you don't mind, I'm going to sing it. I wrote it a long time ago when Brother Donnie was preaching about the Romans 7 here a while back. It's an A. There's a battle that is raging deep inside of me, between the man that I am and the man that I should be. When I would do what I should do, evil rears his ugly head. When I see the thing I shouldn't do, that's the thing I do instead. 'Cause I am Cain and I am Abel. I am wrong and I am right. I am Jacob and I am Esau. I am darkness, I am light. Oh, wretched man am I. But I keep looking for an open door where I will step into and change from this old coat I've been wearing ever since I've had a name. All the days of my appointed time, I will wait till my change comes, when I finally will be set free from my greatest enemy. I am Cain and I am Abel. I am wrong and I am right. I am Jacob and I am Esau. I am darkness, I am light. Wretched man am I. Oh, wretched man am I.
Stand together. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we are in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Verse 18, Harry didn't know I was going to read this scripture, neither did I know he was going to sing that song. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Amen. Now, I realize some of you poor message people, this scripture scares the liver out of you. If it was Baptist, they'd be screaming, hollering, hanging from the chandeliers. I don't believe in shouting. This scripture, my friends, the only reason it scares you is because you don't understand it. Don't be afraid of God's word. Be afraid of tradition that'll make you afraid of God's word. For I know that in me, listen now, he declares which part of him that he's referring to. That is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Where? In the flesh. In the flesh. You teach the flesh. You discipline the flesh. You need to do it. You need to do it. You need to do it. But the flesh still isn't willing to do it, no matter how much you teach it. The will must come from the soul and makes it obey. Oh my. Verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Where is it? It's my wife, Brother Donnie. It's you. Now, I got on a word last night that I wouldn't have ever thought about using when I was preaching to bring the parallel of what I had in my heart, but the word bipolar. Now, I did not know the full meaning of bipolar. But when I got home last night, I got a dictionary on my phone. So I typed in bipolar. Guess what I found? I found me and you. Look at the meaning, one of the meanings of this word. Having or marked by two mutually repellent forces or diametrically opposed natures. I about had spell number 335. Oh my goodness. Diametrically opposed natures or views. Now, a lot of y'all are smarter than I am. I know that. So you already knew what diametrically meant. Well, I didn't, so I thought I'd look up diametrically while I was at it. Diametrically means completely opposed, being at opposite extremes. Well, let's pray and we'll go have lunch. My Lord. Praise be to God. Having or marked by two mutually repellent forces or diametrically opposed natures or views. Brother David Siler texted me this morning. He was during the service last night. Poor guy, thought the deacons would have to straighten him out. He was carrying on some bad. But anyway, he texted me this morning and said that it can take generally 10 years for anyone to really be fully diagnosed to being bipolar. He said, but I got fully diagnosed last night in 45 minutes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't you appreciate the grace of God? How many like to be remembered today as we pray over the word? Let's approach him now through his grace. Heavenly Father, we love you so very much. The more we see what kind of situation that we're in, the more it makes me appreciate your love, Father. Dear God, we ask today that you would help us once again. Speak to us, Father, the word of God that we need that'll make us the type of people that we should be. I told Carol last night after we went home, Lord, I personally would have never, ever thought of bringing this in with the seed and the germ and all of that sort of thing. That's why it's so important that every preacher follows you, because we don't always know what needs to be brought. But it's so important that we follow your leading. Lord Jesus, we bring our needs and requests before you today. I hold in my hand to your prayer clause, Father, for Brother Bird and Sister Barbara Gravely. You see the needs in their bodies, and they're just asking you, Lord, for your intervention. I'm going to preach with them today. Not, Lord, that I'm anything special, but it's your word and your presence that is so special. Lord, there was all kinds of hands that were uplifted today across the auditorium, and I ask that you just meet their needs as well. I stand here today probably, Father, the most needy person in this building, because it has once again fallen my lot to try to bring something from the Word of God that would help your children. Lord God, I pray you'd help me today. I've studied, I've prayed, I've applied myself, I've done everything I know to do, and still yet I feel so inadequate, Lord, to stand before the Queen of Heaven, to speak something to her that would help her and encourage her, chide her a little when she needs to be, and chastise her when she needs to be, discipline her when she gets wrong, encourage her when she's down, lift her up when she's weak. Help me, dear God. Help me that I can follow your leading today, Lord. Make me sensitive to the Spirit of God. Speak to us, Heavenly Father, as only you can do. When the service is over, we'll look as those who was with you on the way to Emmaus, and we'll look at the way you broke the bread, and once again we will know you were in our midst. Amen. By the way you broke the bread. Speak to us today, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you again today on an overcomer in the galleries. For those of you that wasn't with us last night, we were looking at the contrasting laws that is in an individual that is truly born again, one that has been birthed from eternity and yet still bearing in their visual image the natural birth, which is birthed in time. Sets two great laws. There's many laws, of course, that we can look at by the new birth and by the natural law. God has many, many laws in nature, many laws in the spiritual world, and many laws in our body. It's amazing to me when you think of how complex we are. Our first conscience, our subconscious, and the way that God so designed us. Look at you, what a mystery and a marvel that you are. You ever think about how many times your heart pumps during the day? How much noise that your heart actually makes? And yet, unless there's something wrong with you, you don't even hear it. Can you imagine how annoying that would be if you heard your heart beating all the time? The complexity of the way we are, and yet God has made us in such a way that it's a marvelous thing. Then we look at the spiritual part of us and how many laws there are that exist in God and exist in our walk with Him. And really the furtherance of our understanding of the Word of God gives us that knowledge to be able to try to work within the confines of those laws. And there's spiritual laws and natural laws, and both of them must correlate together with the child of God in order for us to get everything that God wants us to have. Sometimes our failures are not the lack of understanding the spiritual laws as much as there is of correlating the natural and the spiritual together to make them work to bring exactly what the Lord wants. And this is what Paul is dealing with here in Romans chapter 7. It's a beautiful, beautiful chapter. And with understanding, it is absolutely tremendous. But looking at it from the sense of where that people try to make do for themselves and try to comprehend what God has done just by natural understanding or theology, we'll never be able to get it. It's just not, cannot be understood that way. So it must have a spiritual application to the Word, because we know the Word does not contradict itself. We believe that. And we know the law of God then that is written in our hearts, and this is the very thing that Paul was getting at, that he found a contrast between himself. And it was an amazing contrast. Now I realize that there's great difference of opinions amongst theologians, even among preachers in the Message, actually. Several years ago when I dealt with this, whenever I was dealing with the dead man aspect of it, I contacted about 14 different preachers about this in Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 8, question answer 59, question answer 64, and 1961, you must be born again. Several different aspects, and absolutely amazing how many different answers that I got from men who all believe the same message. So you realize then that it's not the law of God that all those men are speaking talking about, or there would not be the diversities in the answers that you get. So it is the carnal realm of us, and we're motivated and influenced by various things that we read. Now, some of us, our background are Pentecostal, so that tends to make us more legalistic. Some of you were maybe Baptist or Methodist, Presbyterian, so that would make you, in your former days of reading the Word and understanding the Word, that would make you lean more toward grace and more toward all that God can do and how little that you would do. But really, in reality, when we face the facts of it, no matter what our upbringing was, it was filled with tradition. Now, maybe some of you were never raised in any of those. You were raised in the Message, but I guarantee you still have tradition, Message tradition. Now, not that the Message itself taught by the prophet of God, I'm not saying that, but by people or preachers or mother and father that you sat under, and they had their tradition that was formed by their understanding of the Message, and they put it together, and then that's made the tradition of how that we believe. And it's a very hard thing to let go of. That's right. Very hard thing to let go of tradition, because it's just so ingrained in us, and we're so afraid that somebody's going to take it away. But really, the only way we'll ever to be able to fully comprehend the Word of God is for God to take away our tradition. This one thing I love about Him, that He knows how we are about tradition. He knows how we hold on to it. And little by little, it gradually is the way in which He will deal with us. Not so much to alarm us in such a way that we won't let go. He will move upon us, and it will alarm us to a degree, and then he'll give us truths and take that tradition, and then kind of let us settle a little bit, and then he'll give us a little bit more and a little bit more. It'd probably scare us today if we knew how much tradition that we're still holding on to right now. And yet the mercy of God deals with us as with children in order to replace the tradition that we hold with revelatory facts that are absolutely the Word of God and the mind of God. And that's what I want myself. I want to read the Word. I'm sure when I read the Bible, I'm still reading it with a tinge of Pentecost. I'm reading it with a tint of former days of whenever I comprehended the Message. I'm sure that I'm still reading the Message and hearing things. Oh, I know some of you ain't going to say that, but I'm going to be honest and tell the truth. No doubt I'm still reading the Message with the earlier years that I come to the Message, and I had ideas that were formed by opinions of men that I was listening to. But what I want is the mercy of God to purge me away from any tradition that hinders me from seeing who I am and who He is. That's right. Now, ultimately, I think we all desire that today, do we not? That we can be the vessels that God wants us to be. Now, let's look, if we can, at this contrasting of the laws. There's no way I can go back through all that we dealt with last night. Those of you that weren't here, you just have to go back and listen for yourself. But in dealing with the old man and the new man, that God alone is the only one that can birth the new man, which is Christ inside of your soul. Then we, as believers, we become recipients of that new life. And then Paul tells us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are then taking what God has done on the outside, and we are expressing on the inside, rather, and we are expressing it on the outside. You are putting on the Lord Jesus Christ as you react to the way someone says something about you. Now, God has done that inward work in you by the new birth, but He's going to leave it up to you for you to put it on the outside. Amen. Then you'll reflect that by the way that you have, the attitude that you have, in the way you deal with people. Now, here Paul is finding this law within himself. Now, remember, this is not pre-conversion, which is what I found amazing when I was talking to some of the Message preachers about this some time ago, that so many of the Message preachers actually placed Romans 7 and Paul in a pre-conversion state. So it was Paul before he got the Holy Ghost, which makes absolutely no sense. That makes Brother Branham completely wrong in the way that Brother Branham interpreted this scripture. So you can follow who you want to. I'm going to follow Elijah. I have love and respect for men of God, but if men of the Message don't say what the prophet said, with all due respect, I'm going to stay with what the Message says. You do whatever you want to do. Now, listen, as Paul now is going to address this, and I'm sure the saints of God in that day must have been so relieved whenever the prophet of God dealt with this and this matter. No other man in the New Testament quite exposed the parallel of the laws that was existing in the born-again believer. Now, you'd think automatically that the predominant force would be the predestinated seed life in the inherent nature that was in the children of God. And truly,
truly that nature being fed by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, absolutely overpowers anything and everything else that's left in us. But because we live in the contrast of two worlds, and we're living between two desires, and there's two control towers that are constantly impulsing on our life absolutely every day, we're always between those twos. So here is right and wrong, here is good and evil, here is permissive will and perfect will, here is you, and absolutely those things are a daily, on an absolute daily battle against you as children of God. You say amen to that. Now those of you that have battled that, this ought to be a help to you, hopefully, to help you to understand that there is a part of you that has absolutely been converted. With that conversion came a new law. Now by the natural birth, it was in you by your natural nature that you were born to be like sin, you were born to be of the evil world, yet there remained a neutrality in your body, that your body could hear good things, and maybe your mom or daddy or somebody would talk to you about the Lord or about doing right, and the neutrality of your body would hear what they had to say, and maybe tears would actually come up in your eyes, and you'd say, I know it, it's the truth, I need to do better, I know it, do. Now if your body was totally sold out to sin in the sense that no other force could affect your body, you would not be allowed to cry or be allowed to be motivationally moved whenever truth or light would move upon you. But because your body was neutral, even when you were in sin, you could hear something that was right or true, and it would actually move your emotions. Maybe you passed by a church sign and you saw a sign there, and there's something about that sign just struck your heart. It just moved you. And my, you said, Lord, I need to get right with you one day. And it was the neutrality of your body that was able to sense that and perceive what it was. Now notice this in Romans chapter 7 verse 23. Paul says, I see another law in my members. Now look at the word law. It is nomos, which is anything established, anything received by usage, a custom, a precept, or an injunction. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. Now remember that the law of the mind in this term of the New Testament language is that of the new birth. Now I'm not talking about the brain, but we're talking about the mind. A couple of different words that was used in the Greek language for mind, phronia or neos, and they have complete different meanings. Now here we're talking about the mind or the new birth, the part of you which has been regenerated by the Spirit of God. So the link of the soul of the mind runs a great parallel. The prophet says it this way, now the mind that was in Christ Jesus is in every believer, there is the soul. So here the mind and the soul then become linked by the new birth. So it puts there in the mind, as it were, establishes a new law. It is the law of righteousness unto Christ Jesus. It is the law of predestination, the law of truth, the law of mercy, the law of everything that is godly and pure. Now, before you were converted, you did not have that. Now, in your conscience was teaching, don't do this and don't do that and don't go here and don't go over there, but conscience alone won't keep you. Then someone else can come and affect the teaching of conscience and begin to change your conscience and persuade you away from that which is right. I mean, that's true. We've all been persuaded away from things that we knew were true. But when God wrote this in the law of your mind, it is now the very word of God written inside of you, which can never be taken away. It is the seal on your soul. Now, as God seals that in your soul, it leaves this divine element that is always there. It never gets away from you, but you do sometimes get away from it. The impossibility of this law ever leaving a believer, if you can only understand it tonight, that today once God puts it in there, it can never get away from you again. It is always yours for the rest of your life. As a matter of fact, the Holy Ghost that you've got right now is yours in eternity. Amen. Praise God. It is yours forever. Now notice in Paul is relating how that whenever he became changed, he said, I see another law in my members. Now here is another principle now that is different from the law that is in his mind by conversion, and he sees another law. So you mean the new birth did not fully eradicate every law or every nomos which existed outside of the new birth itself? It did not. What it did was change the soul and make you a new person from within. But it left the existing laws. Now, we are a church, and of course we have the right to worship and freedom of religion and so on and so on. But yet we also live in the United States of America. And we are governed by other laws that are outside of our law, right? So we are governed by laws of the IRS. We're governed by laws of state, governed by laws of different things. And we know then that we live, we work within the confine of the spiritual law, living inside the confine of the natural law. And it's the same way when we become born again, that there is the law of God, which is written upon our mind, connected with our soul, which makes us a new creation in Christ Jesus. But it does not eliminate the law, which still exists in the unconverted body. Praise the Lord. Notice this. He says, I find another law in my members. Notice now what these are doing. And they are warring against the law in my mind. So here we have two laws then, and what they both do is constantly warring against one another. Where's the warring going on? It's going on inside of you. Now the battleground is you. The law which works in your members, which is unconverted, will never be able to override that law which lives inside of your soul. Now listen, but it can, if you will yield to that, depending on which one you feed the most, it can actually bring you into a captivity. And that law is always there. This is why Paul said, when I would go to do good, evil is present with me. So I find this law when I would want to do right. Oh, you said, Brother Donnie, we're born again. We got the Holy Ghost. It should get out of our way. Now, friend, when we worship, that law is there to hinder us. When we pray, that law is there to hinder us. When we read the Bible, when we come to church, you have said right here this morning, that law has worked in your flesh to try to hinder you from getting in the service or worshiping or praying or believing God. That law is always with you and always will be till the change. Brother Donnie, I'm not controlled by sin. I'm not talking about you being controlled by sin. I'm talking about that law being there to hinder you. This is what Paul is conveying. Paul is not saying, I'm a poor, helpless Baptist. I can't even live right. I want to live right, but I can't. I want to do right, but I can't. Paul ain't saying that at all. That is a twisted, warped version of what the prophet of God is saying. He is saying that I got born again and there's another law in me, but even though that law is there, the carnal law is always there to aggravate me. It's always there to war against me and aggravate me and push against me. But by God's grace, I will overcome it. Oh, thank the Lord. But I see another law in my members. Now notice again the neutrality of the body. How that he separates the soul from the human part. The law working in my members. Now his members is not him, but they are his. Whoa, my. Another law in my members. I wish somebody would get that. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, not in my soul. Come on now, you Pentecostal message folks. Let off your brakes. You're still trying to crank me down. Now look, I've preached a whole lot bigger crowds than you all with the brakes on. By the end of this service, you're going to be like an 18-wheeler coming on this side of Sam's Gap. Y'all ever come over through Sam's Gap and an 18-wheeler pulled off on the side of the road? What's he doing? His brakes is on fire. Oh my. Warring against the law of my mind. Oh, you say, but even after we become converted, that law is still there? It is. The law of sin and death is in our mortal bodies today. That's why all of us are getting older and not younger. Why? The new birth did not eradicate. It is a compound law. It is a compound law of sin and death. And until these bodies are changed, that law is in great effect. Praise the Lord. Oh my, that's why we have to take medication, have surgeries, go to doctors, and have all these things done. Why? What are we trying to do? We're trying to use medical science to hold back the law of death as long as possible. That's exactly right. When something tears us up, we go to a doctor and he's able to do it. Of course, we go to prayer and ask God to help us. But will they stop it? They will not. Will the new birth in your soul stop the law of sin from working in your mortal body, stop gray hairs, teeth from falling out? It won't do it. You might as well get some Polygrip and keep on smiling. And it will not until our bodies are changed. Praise the Lord. Notice this now in question and answers 19 and 59. Paul said then, with my mind, I have the mind of Christ, you see. And he said, I serve God with my mind, but my flesh. How did he word that there at last? But with the flesh, the law of sin. What is it my flesh says tonight? Now listen, this is why I think sometimes people get confused, because they think the law of sin is always adultery and smoking and drinking and running around. You only got part of the picture. This is some of the things the law of sin says in your flesh. My flesh says tonight, you're too tired. My flesh says tonight, you're too tired. Your throat is too sore. You've been out in the wind today. You shall not go to church tonight. Oh my, how many of y'all listen to that law warring in your members? Now you see, oh, you all long to be like this screwdriver. Oh, if I could be an orange-handled screwdriver. But actually, this is what the Lord God wants to happen to that screwdriver. He wants it to be buried in humanity. Now, it would be much easier as a Christian to be like this screwdriver. No feelings, no tears, no emotions, no complexes. God wants to use you. He just reaches over in the toolbox. Here we go again, the same old screw. Picks you up, takes a screw out. God gets done with you. You lay there till next time. Is that really what you want? Now, I want the usability that this screwdriver has. I want the submissiveness that it has. But I don't want to be dead. I was made to live. I was made to feel. I was made to cry. I was made to jump and holler and shout and praise the Lord. This can't do that. So in order for me and you to be able to see this clearly, now y'all know, you've heard me preach long enough to know how the Lord deals with me, that the Lord will deal with me and drop something down in me, and then the next service I backtrack and go back over again. I don't know why he always deals with me that way, but it's just the way he is. And in order for us to truly be the usable part that God wanted us to be, we must bury this in fears and complexes. And I don't like this, and they don't like me, and they don't care for me. You see, this screwdriver don't have any of that. You are one of the ugliest screwdrivers I've ever seen in my life. You pile of junk, I'm telling you what you... See, he never thought one thing bad against me. Did you see a hand raise up off the side of that screwdriver and hit me in the face? Don't have a hand. Not one bit of temper, not one bit of anger, not one bit of joy. When it takes a screw out, when it fixes something, it cannot be elated because it's accomplished its deed. It has no feeling whatsoever. I don't want to be a screwdriver like that. I want to be one like this. Now, what I did was I buried that thing behind Reagan and Choate makeup. My mother a Choate, my father a Reagan. Fears, inferiorities, complexes, all types of things that I was born with and that I inherited. And many of them I've got since I've been around the message. I'm just being honest with you. But now all the usability of that screwdriver is still there. Now, you know where it's at because you saw me put it in my pocket, but you cannot see it, right? But in order to accomplish what God wanted to accomplish. He buried our talents, our gifts, our abilities deep within our human complex makeup. Now it's all there. Every bit of the goodness and mercy and grace and power of God and usability that God will ever bring out of you, it is all there, but it's buried so deep behind our humanity. Aren't you glad He didn't leave you like this? Aren't you glad you don't come to church? Honestly, I think some of y'all are a screwdriver like this because you never praise, you never worship, you never sing. I finally got a smile off of some of you orange faces. You see, to be left like this, can you imagine what heaven would be like? It would be the gathering of billions of orange-handled screwdrivers. And would all just stand there in the presence of God. But what John saw was people worshiping and screaming and hollering and worshiping and praising. Yet, by vision, if you look at it right, you'd be able to see this that was embedded in them. And God was able to use it in spite of their humanity. Now this coincides, of course, with another law of God, which is the gifts and the callings of God that God disperses in the lives of His people. Now watch, as Brother Branham goes on with this about the nature and the makeup. He says, now, that's the law of the flesh, telling you you can't go to church, you're tired, so on and so on. You might as well call them up and tell Brother Neville, send the questions down there and tell him to answer. But you see, I promised to do that. Now, my mind on the inside, the Holy Spirit said, you keep your promise. But the flesh said, you're too tired. See? Now the flesh says there's no need, you pretty little thing. You're the prettiest little thing in school. Now you don't have to pay any attention to that holy roller mother of yours or that fanatic father, see? You're the best looking girl in school. You're the prettiest boy, the best looking boy, the best built. You're the most popular there is in the city. And you see that? And you yield your members to that. And where do you come out? The little end of the horn every time. Now I'm sure this is a Kentucky metaphor, but I don't know exactly what it means, but it don't sound like I want to be on the little end of the horn. It sounds like I want to be on the big end, if there's a big end. Now watch how that Brother Branham is taking the law that works in the flesh and through many people that don't smoke and drink and lie and so on and so on, and that does not bother them. They say, well, I mean, I don't have any of the flesh. But it is your flesh that tells you you're too tired to come to church. It is your flesh that when you come says, don't worship God. Don't get in the service. Don't do this. That is still your unconverted flesh. And I'm going to tell you something, friend, if you get anything out of this service today, you're going to have to press beyond that carnality of your flesh that wars against you. Not just today, but every time you come to the house of God. Notice again, he says, Paul said, my flesh wants always to yield to that. Your flesh does too. But the law of the Spirit of God in the heart, I love this, overcomes the flesh and makes the body obey what the heart says do. Oh my, there's the overcoming, my brother, sister. Don't you understand what overcoming is? It's you putting on the outside what God put on the inside. Amen. It's you making your body obey you. Praise be to God. Look, then if you'll do that for a sinner, then won't it work for sickness too? The law of the Spirit of God in the heart that knows by His stripes we're healed. They stand there with the power to make that sickness in the body obey Him. You understand? This is why some of you all today, you need that healing in your body. That you can understand the resurrection power is in you and God can anoint your word. That you'll speak to that sickness will have to obey you. Oh. Notice again he says, now that's the law of sin and death that works in your flesh. But the law of the Spirit of life works in your heart. And of course, these two laws, they love one another so much, and they go on picnics together, and they have lunch together. They're best of friends. Oh my. That's exactly right. He said, so your heart, your spirit and your heart will make your body obey what it says do. Well, I can't keep from sinning. I can't keep from... Well, get the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will make your body obey the word. Now, it don't mean they don't like it. It don't mean your body says, well, I'm so glad, Holy Ghost, you're the boss of this captain of this ship, and you're just making me... Well, he'll get aggravated. He'll fight. They'll squabble. They'll fuss and carry on. You don't believe me, huh? Question and answer is 1964. Now, Brother Branham answers this in 1959, but now someone else, maybe it's someone else, might have been the same person, wants to understand about it again. Romans 7, 14 to 18. Now, it goes down through and he reads the scripture. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I would, oh my, I do not. For what I would, that I would not, but what I hate, that I do. If I then do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. Now then, it is no more I that doeth it, but it's sin that dwelleth in me. I love the honesty of this person. This, I cannot understand. Oh my. Help him, Elijah, will you? And will you help us too? Well, they wrote out the scripture. That's Paul speaking to the Romans. And he said, let me just kind of polish it up. This is why we needed a prophet. Not to change scriptures. Not to write a new book. Just to simply polish it up. Hope some of you don't file out and you see it and go to have conniption fits. But it's the same way the ministry does today. They take the word of God and kind of polish it. Don't add to, don't take from it, but just polish it. Polish one quote with another, with another, with another, with another. My, time you get done, you say, glory. Now, once he says, let me just kind of polish it up so you can see it. He said, in me, I'm bipolar. In me is two persons. Right, one wants me to do. Wrong, the other wants me to do. And every time I start to do right, then wrong hinders me. Praise be to God. Oh, you say if I could take me and my family and we could move out on an island somewhere and they wouldn't know sinners, they wouldn't know rock and roll music. You loaded up the worst guy's suitcase when you packed yours. You packed the suits and the clothes of your worst enemy. Brother Don, if I can move away from you, I'm not your enemy, I'm your friend. I'm here to burn your hide to help you get free from yourself. Oh my goodness. In me is two persons? How many of you people on the interviews this afternoon are run to the same thing this morning? See, the same thing. I spoke on it this morning temporarily. You're an outward man which is controlled by six senses, and you're an inward man controlled by one sense, which is faith. And this faith disagrees with all six senses if the six senses doesn't agree with faith. And one is contrary to the other. They don't get along. They will never get along. Now, as long as the six senses agree with faith, wonderful. But when the six senses disagree with faith, leave the six senses alone. Now, for instance here, Jesus made a statement, a promise. The inside man says that's true. The outside man reasons with it. Listen now. Reasons that it can't be true to you. Now, many times the outside man does not say God's word's a lie. You can't place no dependence upon the word. He don't say that. But he'll say it ain't for you. You're not bride. You're not this. You're not that. Oh, sure. Yeah, there's a bride. No doubt there's a bride. But you're not one of them. And that law is with you every day of your life. And then when you make mistakes and fall short of the glory of God, that law is right there to say, see what I told you? If you was brides, you'd be doing this and you wouldn't be doing that. See there, you might as well give up on it. You ain't elect no how. Oh my. Notice this. He says, it can't be true to you. Then ignore the outside man and accept the inside man. Now that's the same thing that Paul's speaking of. He was sold under the law to carnal sin. Brother Bram, honey, why did you have to say this? Come on. Every one of us, every one of us is the same. And Happy Valley said, thank you. Every one of us is the same. That's the reason we have the troubles we do. Married four or five times and this and that. All kinds of sins and adulteries and everything else along in our lives is because of those things. We are carnal. Brother Bradley, I think the microphone went dead there. Listen, friends, and that part must perish. Then inside we are a spirit man, a soul inside. And that's, listen what your soul is. That's faith in God's word. Then we bring our outside body under subjection to the word by faith, by accepting what God said. You don't feel no better. Your symptoms are worse, but the inside man says, shut up, symptoms. Symptoms are only temporary. And yet your body's aching and your body's hurting. How do you deny that? Well, Brother Donnie, it's foolish. Sure, it would seem foolish to a person looking at their mind. But you're not denying that they aren't there. But you're denying they're going to stay there. That's the real balance of faith. Well, I ain't sick. I ain't got a cold. I ain't got this and the other. Real faith can look at it and say, devil, you better pack up your bags. You're fixing to leave this house. I may be sniffing now, but it ain't going to last long. I may have TB. I may have cancer. But you are not putting up your permanent residence in my body. Amen. By faith I am healed. By faith I am delivered. That's the inside man bringing the outside man subject. I know I read this quote, but I'm going to read it again. How can I take a cocoa bar and make a grain of wheat out of it? It's impossible for me to do it. The only way it can be done is because inside that cuckoo burr has been transmitted from a cuckoo burr wheat. A cuckoo burr to a germ called wheat life. Then you bury that cuckoo burr and it'll produce a grain of wheat. That's right, because there's been a life of wheat put in the cuckoo burr. And the life of the cuckoo burr has been taken out. The life of the cuckoo burr has been taken out. The life of the cuckoo burr, which means the law of the cuckoo burr, has taken out of the heart. And a new law went in. The law of what? The law of wheat life. Can you imagine your wife fixing you cuckoo burrs for breakfast this morning? And Brother Jim, later tonight, y'all go in and Sister Linda fixes you a cuckoo burr snack. Rye or wheat, which do you prefer? You know, if anybody in their right mind that would want to eat cuckoo burr? God never made cuckoo burr to be eat. But he did wheat. So wheat becomes bread. The bread of his presence, the bread of his face. And yet this contrast, this warring of this sticky, carnal part, I hate it. I've got the most bizarre relationship with myself, and you do too. You've heard me say it many times. I love me. And I hate me. I drink for me, I eat for me, I eat chocolate for me, and I eat chocolate for me, and I eat chocolate for me, and I'll take a bath for you as well as me. and I am the greatest hindrance I have had all my life. Me. Praise God. And the life of the cockle bird has been taken out, but the nature of the cockle bird is still sticky, see? And it will be until the new life. Now, this is Romans 7. We're still dealing with Romans 7. This is Brother Branham answering Romans 7. It will be until this new life has been fully developed out of the ground and raised up again. And when it comes forth, then it's no more cockle bird. Lord, children, when people go beyond the curtain of time and whenever they pass in these mortal body and we think, my, they're not sick anymore, they're not suffering anymore, you've only got part of the picture. They're not cocklebird no more. Because no matter how much you love God and how consecrated you ever get to God, you are still bearing this image, this so sticky carnal image. But once you go beyond the curtain of time of the day and move into that theophany, you are free. You have finally been liberated. Lord have mercy, I wouldn't call a one of the saints of God that have lived in our midst, mamas, daddies, grandpas and all that, though we miss them and we cry and we lament for them and we feel the pain because they are gone, yet I would not call a one of them back to this old cocklebur body again. They have entered into a wheat body. They are young. They will be forever. They are worshiping. They are praising. They know no tomorrow. They know no yesterday. They know no difficulty, no pain. Hallelujah. Oh, if we could hear them this morning, I wonder what they'd say beyond the curtain of time. Keep pressing the battle. Keep pressing the battle. It ain't going to be long. We're all going to be changed so weak. While it's on earth and out of the earth and a cocklebur, it's still sticky. Do you understand what it means to be a cocklebur? Really? Are you saved? Can you cry? You a dumb screwdriver? Made of two components, some sort of plastic, or some type of cheap Chinese metal. Made in China or Taiwan. Well, you were made in Kentucky and Virginia and whatever more. But in you is a soul. In you is a spirit which can imagine. The screwdriver has no imagination. Conscience, memory, reason, affection. The screwdriver does not remember Sunday week ago. Me going over here and taking it. Its picture has went around the world. It is now the famous orange screwdriver. Believe me, I'm telling you the truth. I've got emails and all kinds of things of this famous orange screwdriver from around the world. It has no memory. It cannot remember me doing this the week before last. It cannot remember being used as an example by a knot-headed preacher. It cannot, why? It has no memory. It cannot love. It cannot touch. It cannot feel. So God buried his implements, his tools, like this. But he buried them so deep inside of our humanity. Sometimes it takes years of breaking and pulling and molding and shaping to ever get the tool out like this to where it can be used. But you see, unlike this, if God uses me to help you and remove something from your life, God takes me in his hand and he puts me on that part of your life and I go to, unlike the screwdriver, I'll cry. Tomorrow I'll feel lower in a snake's belly. For 2 or 3 days I'll be so sad. Why? Unlike this, I have a heart. Unlike this, I have feelings. I don't like whooping you. I don't like correcting you. I don't like doing it. So when I do it, I'm crying. And the screwdriver looked at me and said, what in the world is the matter with you? He can't understand. when you parents see your children going astray. You're not like a screwdriver mom and a screwdriver dad. You look at them with feeling and emotion. Aren't you glad that you're not just a tool like this with no feeling? I don't want to become a preacher like this, that I run through the routine. I study and I preach and I sing. I don't want us to come to Happy Valley to church and we become screwdriver Christians, that we go through the form and the ritual and the routine and we clap our hands and say amen a certain way. I want us to do it with feeling, friends. We want to serve our God with emotion. Oh, with the pulsation of faith. As long as you're in this life, you're going to be sticky and have a carnal nature that's going to bother you as long as you live. But the inside of you, you're born again. And when you're raised up, you're in the likeness of Christ and all the sin is gone from you. That's the thing. Now, Brother Bram goes on talking a little bit and he talks about an Indian, Native American. And we'll break into this in page 1151, paragraph 36. Somebody told me that he had one time, talking about an Indian, Native American, converted, received the Holy Ghost. Said to him, now remember, this is still the same answer to Romans 7. Said, how are you getting along? He said, pretty good and pretty bad. So, well, how do you mean pretty bad and pretty good? Said, well, since me received the Holy Ghost, there's been two dogs in me. One of them a black dog, and one of them a white dog. And he said, they argue every 4 months. Once every now and then, I seem like I remember it back in 1943 or something like that. And then maybe again in 1971 that they got into an argument. They argue all the time. They growl and fight at one another. Oh my, these aren't polite dogs at all. I mean, man, they didn't go to dog school, did they? They're not sending their texts to one another. Leave me alone. I will not. I'm telling you, don't bother me. I'm telling you, go fly a kite. Go dig up a buried bone. I refuse to dig up old rotten bones. They growl and they fight and they argue. Friends, is it any world that we Christians, any wonder in the world that we walk around sometimes and somebody speak to you, you don't even hear them? We come to church last night and I was sitting up here at the traffic light and I know there's somebody from the church behind me because they pulled in the parking lot. So I sat right there at the traffic light. The air turned green. I never turned. I just sat there. I was in another world somewhere. It's a wonder that people don't think we're more kooky than what they think we are. If they knew how kooky they really were, they wouldn't. Oh my. Why? Because this war is going on in us all the time. Oh, I wish somebody preached with me this morning. It's going on all the time. You're in the middle of a big arguing deal going on all the time. Amen. Don't you love these theological terms that Brother Ben uses? These great theological examples. They growl and fight at one another. And he said, the white dog wants me to do good and the black dog wants me to do bad. Said, well, chief, which one of them wins the fight? Said, that depends on which one chief feeds the most. Okay, chief, what about it? Oh, my. And I think that's a good answer here. You mean this is a good answer for Romans 7? That I find the law when I would do good, evil is present with me. Well, of course, black and white dog, both are there. When you face a situation, both of them want to give their opinion. Both of them want to influence what you do. And naturally, they don't go along and they go to arguing and growling and fighting. And you're saying, would you all shut up? I'm trying to make a decision here. I can't make a decision with both of you all fussing and carrying on. Every time something comes up, somebody posts something about you on Facebook or you read something and say, well, I'll tell you one thing. Well, which dog was that? I realize the inventor of Facebook is one of the wealthiest men in the world, but I hope the man don't have gay problems. Can't really blame him for the, I guess, the idiots that get on it and tell everything in the world going on in the home. Well, preach it, Brother Donnie. Do you honestly get closer to God, many of you, by hours you spend on Facebook? Is it edifying, a lot of what you read? Well, thank you, Jesus. I think I'll just leave that right there then. It depends on which one the chief feeds him. Also, I think that's a good answer here. That just depends on the warring of the body that's in you. It depends on which one you cater to, which nature you cater to. The carnal nature after the things of the world, or the spiritual nature after the things of God. That does it. Watch Paul, Romans 7:22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. The inward man delights in keeping the law of God. The outward man delights in breaking the law of God. Oh, Jesus. I'll say another law in my members, warring against the law in my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against, capital S-P-I-R-I-T. And the capital S-P-I-R-I-T, against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another. So they cannot, you cannot do the things you would. So get in your mind this morning. Lord have mercy. It's no wonder I'm so bipolar. Spiritually now. I've got two forces working within me. I've got all these laws that are in me. Plus I've got two dogs. I know that some message preachers said they don't have a black dog. But let me just tell you, I know most of them better than you do. Woo! Oh, Jesus, here we go. You see, the indwelling principle that is in the flesh, the new birth, does not eradicate it. Rather, it suffocates it and holds it down and makes it mind. But it's not something you do once and that's it. It's something you do every day. Thousands of times a day if you're awake. So here's this white dog. Feeding the way. Micah 4, Luke 17, 3, Revelation 10, 13. Well, here's the black dog. He's watching movies. Super Bowl! Ah! Ah! There's something more important than the Super Bowl going on here today. We're talking about a super bride, a super rapture. It's more important than the Super Bowl. You see, friend, every carnal thing, you are feeding. That's why when some of y'all's black dog walks in, your white dog goes, ooh. Wagging his little short tail. Because your black dog looks like a Samoa wrestler. I know I'm some example to represent that. Brother Homer says, I'm so skinny I could stand out under a clothesline in a drenching rain and not get wet. Just use your imagination. I've got arms this big. Big old head. Y'all would never believe it, but when I was a young boy, I ordered the Charles Atlas bodybuilding stuff. I'm not sure I liked the sound of that laugh. I'm not teasing you, I did. I don't know if Harry remembers it or not. I lasted about a week and threw it away. Oh, my Lord, I can see from the look on some of you men's face, y'all did too. At least I done it when I was young. I ain't as dumb as some of you, all 30-year-old men out trying to do it now. Oh! Lord, children, is it any wonder that sometimes we fail in the battle? We fellowship and hang around carnal people, carnal people, carnal people. Hardly ever get around any saints or the right kind of fellowship. We feed on carnal things. How many times y'all read your Bible? You still read your Bible? You still listen to tapes? Is your mind so filled with music and movies and sports and this and that and the other? And you're making that carnal dog stronger and stronger all the time. And that white dog is so weak, he can barely survive. And then you wonder why you can't overcome. Notice in Romans 7:24, Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. Can you imagine a Holy Ghost-filled preacher? Not only a preacher, but a prophet. Amen. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He's not praying for salvation now. He's not praying for the Holy Ghost. He's already got that. But he's wanting to be delivered from the body of this death. Can I have just a few more minutes of your time? And he answers himself. Jump over to Romans chapter 8, a couple of verses after this, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here's the answer. Let me close with this. I've often thought back here is the spirit of man, the next is his soul, next is his mind and his flesh. Satan does not tempt down in here. He tempts out here in the flesh. For instance, you go down the streets tomorrow. You're walking along singing Christian songs. Somebody says, you know, she or he is just a hypocrite talking about you. Oh, I know that wouldn't bother most of you all. I mean, you just... Now, the first thing, your flesh picks that up in the ear. And it suggests to the mind, get even with him. Isn't it amazing, though, that people think that when you're talking about the nature and the flesh, they relate it all to women or adultery or smoking or drinking or lying. You're missing so much sin. When something suggests to you to get even with a brother, that's not the Holy Ghost. It's your black dog. Oh my. Notice. Time it gets back here. He says, the back here says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Now let's imagine our mind, and I'll close, that it's like a castle. So the thoughts, the things bombard us daily from the outside, comes against the wall. if it gains entrance to a gate, to a window or something or another, it comes in, then it gains access into the spirit. Imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. Then the spirit goes to working on it. Then it'll try to go to the throne room in the castle. Then from the throne room will come the command of what to do. Then from there it sends the command back to the spirit, from the spirit back to the body, and the body then is made to obey the rule from the throne. Amen. Now let's change it a little bit. So Satan tempts out here. He doesn't get down here because it's immortal. It's the flesh that he tempts. Young man going down the street, young Christian boy, young lady come immortally dressed. The eye picks it up. The flesh suggests to the mind evil. The time it gets to the mind goes down into the soul. The nature is good. The soul of the man is the nature of the spirit, of course. And so when the soul gets out, the spirit says, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery in his heart. So the young man turns his head and walks away. If the white dog is strong and fed, then the signal comes back and the body is forced to obey. But if the white dog is very weak, and the black is becoming dominant, then it will silence that voice and it will usher back to the outside, and the young man will begin to respond accordingly, or old man, whichever it is. Amen. Now remember, he's not tempting the soul. He's coming through the gates to gain access to the throne room. Here's the overcomer, friends. Oh, Brother Donnie, if all the women of this day would dress decently. Look, friends, some men would lust after a fence post if it had a dress on it. All the women of this age ain't never going to dress right. They're going to get worse and worse. The thing is controlling it from within us. My brothers, it's not all the world getting sanctified. It is us becoming sanctified from within and sending the clear messages out through the gates. Obey me. Turn your head. Yes, sir. Obey me. Don't you think those thoughts. Obey me. Don't you act like that. Oh, my. Let's stand together. Let me close this. The soul of man is the nature of his spirit, of course. And when the soul gets down there, what does it do? It keeps running back, running back, running back. Then it comes to the throne room. And there the soul is good, being the nature of the spirit. And the soul says, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her in his heart has committed adultery with her. The soul turns that back around. You tell the spirit. You tell the body. Turn your head, and all that happens too, that quick. Praise God. Oh, don't you want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? Let me read this to you. As long as you have your own thoughts, your ways are contrary to God's ways, and you cannot be right and think your own thoughts. Friends, this is higher than adultery. This is higher than smoking cigarettes and smoking dope. This is bringing it down to where we are. Some of the greatest sinners in this message ain't folks who smoke cigarettes. It's folks who eat up a spiritual pride. Oh my. You cannot be right and think your own thoughts, for you've got to die to your own thoughts. Do you know that? Your thoughts, as long as you look at it and you look at it materially and say, oh, well, that can happen. It's just not reasonable. It's not sensible to think such a thing. You can get to a place you cannot think your ways. But you come into Christ and think His way of thinking. You do understand, don't you, why you cannot trust your flesh? Question answers again. And human is an animal. The man, the flesh part, is animal flesh. You're just a little bit higher than a dog. As far as your flesh. Just a wee bit higher than a brown bear. Your flesh. When you got the Holy Ghost, your flesh never become God flesh. It's still animal flesh. Brother Tim Pruitt preached a message years and years ago. Don't feed the animals. This is about people going into a place. It happens all the time. It happens in India. It happens in Africa. It happened to the last time before me and Carol was there. Some people had went to a park there in Kenya. Some Chinese people or Japanese people. And there was lions everywhere. It's just a big open park there, thousands of acres. They saw the lions, they saw the giraffes, they saw the kudu, the elan, whatever more. They thought they're tame. So the lions are laying down and they get up and one of them walks over near where the lion is to get a photo. Somebody else in the car going to take a picture of him. They attacked him and eat him. Why? Trusted the animal. When you trust yours, he'll get you. He'll get you. This cannot be trusted. The only hope for this is subjection leading to change. Whew, Lord, mercy. Subjection leading to change. Oh my. Don't you love him? Oh, I got to share one more with you, can I? First, in Tucson, there's a control tower of the soul and one for the body. Each tower is a warning caller for the needs of the other. Each one calls to the need for what the caller is calling for. It sends out a wave of warning. Now, this is going in you constantly when you're conscious. For instance, the flesh thirsts to satisfy the desires that's in the body. The flesh thirsts to satisfy the things that's in the body. So you see, the body is neutral. So the flesh thirsts to satisfy that. Oh my. And the spirit desires for the things that's in the soul. The desire is. And many times these war one against the other. And we find what the great trouble today, that too many people try to live between those two desires. So they just get right in the middle of them. No, they don't want to be lost. No, no way. They don't want to go to hell. They're not going to deny this message. They're never going to say, Brother Branham's a false prophet. Never. But neither are they going to become so consecrated to the desire of the soul that they make the body mind what the soul says and they run what they do through the word. So they live between the two. Now they go to church, they sing, they play tapes occasionally, they listen to gospel music, whatever more, and they are identified as a Christian. Are they a Christian? Sure. I'm not saying that they're not saved, but they're just not a victorious one. So they're constantly running back and forth. Back and forth. So the flesh says this and this and this. Well, they have to do it because they're living between the desires. Then the soul says, I need to go to church. I need to be fed. I need to be helped. And they go to church. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. It helped me so much. The service helped me so much. But that's about as far as it goes. They get temporary help and then they walk back out and then they straddle the fence again. And they're back and forth and back and forth. But the only way to overcome yourself is to bring every desire, subject to the word. And don't just do it when you get saved. From me and myself, me and Carol, we talk about it all the time. I'm constantly reevaluating my life, my priorities, the things I do, everything about me. Constantly reevaluating myself. You should do the same thing. Look at yourself and see, are you as close to God as you were 6 months ago? Do you attend church? Do you read your Bible? Are you where you were 5 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, whatever more? Reevaluate yourself and see what's going on with you. Reevaluate yourself. And see if you find yourself living between two desires, back and forth. Let's bow our heads together. The prophet said, one of them things desires the things of the earth, and the other one desires the things of heaven. Is it wrong for us to want a fellowship? Wrong for us to want to go shop? Certainly not, as long as you don't make an idol out of it. Wrong for us to enjoy things of the earth? Certainly not, as long as you don't make a sin out of it. But just don't let that become the dominant thing of your life. And we'd like to be remembered today before the Lord. Oh Lord, I would. Hallelujah. To be an overcomer, my friends, is not just, well, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I ain't never committed adultery, and I'll tell you one thing, I don't lust after women, and I don't. That's not an overcomer. An overcomer is one who puts on the Lord Jesus Christ. He cannot put in, but he can put on. So you allow the same life of Christ to reflect outside of what God baptized you into in your soul. In every circumstance. And this is where we fail. We'll get in our flesh and we'll get angry and we'll say this or do this and handle it by the flesh and make it worse than it was before the situation started, which is exactly what Satan wants to do. But remember, you orange handle screwdriver, you've got these gifts and these things in you that God placed there. If he can work past your fears and your complexes and your shortcomings, he can use you. Except you'll be a screwdriver with feeling. You'll be an instrument or tool that God can take in his hand and do something with. Oh my. Let's bow our heads together if you would. And I'd like also for you to remember Brother Homer Longoria, as we prayed prayer. He's been real sick. Had a sinus infection and two or three different things going on in his body. He's home, but he's still not well. I texted him before I came out a while ago, and his daughter answered the text and said that he still needed prayer. So let's pray for him today also as we go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to bring our feeble selves to your presence. Lord, I wonder about those who look at themselves and consider themselves so great and so magnificent and so wonderful. How do they compare when Paul looked at himself and said that he was a miserable person? Because of the contrast of those two laws. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd help us today. Oh, in our souls, we are so happy. We are so grateful for what you've done. But the warring of the laws within us. As I've said before, Lord, I'll say it again, I've never preached a perfect sermon. And it's not your fault. In reality, it's not the fault of the people that I preach to. It's because of the body I'm in. My gift is limited. I have no perfect gift. I have no perfect ability. I've never sang a perfect song. I've recorded CDs and tapes for years. I've never done a perfect one. I've counseled people for years around the world. I've never had a perfect counseling session. As a matter of fact, at everything that I looked that I've done, I've never accomplished one thing that was perfect. Lord Jesus, help us today to realize that type of perfection cannot be attained to in this life. But we know there, when we get to walk before you. Lord, Sister Sharon that just crossed over recently, others, Lord, that have crossed, no doubt they stood in church and worshiped and sang songs and praised you. But Lord, once they moved into that body, they were able to understand worship. They were able to understand what it's like to be free of a human prison. Oh my God. Help us, Lord Jesus, that we can be ready for that great day when we arrive at that awesome moment in time. Lord Jesus, I don't want to be as a screwdriver. This microphone, this guitar, this organ, this piano, which is a mute. But it has no feeling, no emotion. But yet, an organ player, a piano player, a guitar player, someone who plays the violin or whatever more. I love watching those who are not just professional with the music, but it's a part of them. Their expressions are on their face. Their body sways. Lord, as I saw one the other night playing a violin, and it was on his face. He was moving back and forth. Every note was a part of who he was. It was expressed not only his fingers and the strings and the small tiny piece of wood he had, but it was in his body. Oh Lord God, that's what we want this word to be. We want it to be more than quoting and repeating. We want it to be so, Lord, that it reflects in our soul, our spirit, our bodies, that our bodies are made to obey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for Brother Homer today.
Dear God, you know he's been through so much. Lord, I know he's still suffering with loneliness from his wife. Sister Marge had been taken away. I know he misses her, Lord. Not a day goes by, not an hour, that he don't miss her. I pray you'd help him, Father. I've never been through it, Lord, so I don't know how it feels by experience, but it must be there's a big empty place there in his heart, a big hole. That one he was with for all those years and loved, she's gone. He wouldn't bring her back no more than we would. But it's just that we miss our loved ones when they go. So I pray you'd help Brother Homer, Lord. Touch him in his body as well as his spirit, Lord. May you go out today, Lord Jesus, on podcasts, on internet, whatever more. May you minister to the needs of your children today, Lord God. Use us, Father. Reach down in past our fears and complexes. Grab a hold to that little screwdriver or that whatever it is, that tool that you put in our life. It can be used for you, Lord. Grant it, Lord. I mean, it wants to be a tool in the hands of God. Brother Nate was telling me the other day, he's a mechanic, a real experienced mechanic, and he was telling me that he has all kinds of tools in doing certain things. And he said there's certain tools that he's forced to buy to repair a certain automobile. That tool can only be used on that certain vehicle for that certain task. And you use it once, maybe a year or two or whatever more, before you'd use it again. And he said most of those tools are very expensive because you don't use them very much, so they're not sold very much. But if you don't have it, you can damage the engine that you're working on, and it can cost $6,000 to $7,000 to replace it. So $300 or $400 tool compared to ruining an engine, it's not very much at all, is it? Some of you, God may pick you up and use you once and lay you over there and maybe use you again another time. You say, I ain't done nothing for God. But God may have used you that one time to line up that one seed that was out there in the world. And that soul will be identified with you for eternity. I hope you really like them because they're going to be your chum all through heaven. Praise God. Children, if God's called you, he's put something in you. Don't be heartless. Don't be cold. Let him dig past all those things that's there. It's in you. It's in you. Praise God. Harry, sing something for us. Let's worship together. Oh, my, I want to submit to him, don't you? I do, Brother Terry, with all my heart. Let's worship him, Lord, before we go. Lord Jesus.
Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Together now as we worship him. Let the Lord dig past all your fears and your faults.
I will be that good Samaritan.
Amen,
to someone else in need.
Amen.
Flow through me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing it together.
Love through me, Holy Spirit. Love through me. I will be your house to dwell in. Good. to be your house to dwell in. Flow through me. I will be that good Samaritan to someone else in need. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, through me.
Together. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for the opportunity that we could come together and hear it. Go with us now, I pray, Lord. May we ruminate over these things that we've heard last night and today. May it be made manifest in our lives, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your grace that's been given unto us. Go with us now, Father. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
amen.
Turn around, shake somebody's hand and tell them, by God's grace, I'm going to become that. I'm going to become that. If you're already there, then you're going to become it greater by the grace of God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Since I've laid my burdens down, well, it's glory.
Since I've lived.